there. Welcome to A Wee Blether About, a podcast from the Academic Skills team at UWS. My name is Linda Riches and I'm one of the Academic Skills Advisors at the University. So today I'm joined by my Academic Skills colleagues, Mari Power. Hi, Mari.
Hiya.
Carly Seipel. Hi, Carly.
Hi, Linda.
And John Watson. Hi, John.
Hello.
And we're going to have a little look at an area that is sometimes a bit tricky for students, Turnitin, which is a way of checking your assignments, but often students are not really familiar as to what it means, what it's all about. So we hoped that we can sort of unpick that a little bit today. And Carly and John are quite well placed to do that. So we'll start off by talking about Turnitin. People might have heard the term, but not actually sure what it is. Carly, can you just enlighten us a little bit as to what Turnitin is?
Yeah, so Turnitin is external from the university, but oftentimes when you submit an assessment, a written assessment usually, it will automatically be submitted to Turnitin as well. And I think sometimes Turnitin and its services are associated really highly with plagiarism, and that instills some fear in students. And I've certainly been in that situation as well, but it's not really creating necessarily a full plagiarism report. What Turnitin does is it's going to scan submissions and it's going to check for similarity or perhaps even exact matches to other sources that are within Turnitin's wider database. So based on Turnitin's website, they have billions of web pages, both current and archived from the internet, from other student submissions, from the past, from other, you know, collections of documents. And it's going to check your submission, your assessment against all the other documents that are in their database there. So it's just trying to see, is there something that you tried to paraphrase that maybe you could have paraphrased better that could be highlighted for similarity? Or if you have a direct quote, that will probably be highlighted because it's a direct match to something else in their database. So it doesn't mean that it's plagiarism necessarily if it's everything's appropriately referenced, but it's just going to highlight similarity against other documents and other sources.
Okay, so it's sort of, you know, important to know that it's not a plagiarism checker as such. So what you're saying there is it's really checking against a database of information that they have.
Right.
John, what do you find? Do you find that students kind of just see it as a plagiarism checker and then just panic? Is that really what happened?
The issue I often find with students is that they will be looking for the score. And I know that this is human nature to kind of look first at the score. We see that with just general kind of the assignment score. And maybe students don't focus necessarily on the feedback, which is what we want them to look at to improve in future. But with Turnitin, your eyes get drawn to the number. And it's not, remember, it's not a plagiarism score. It does say it's a similarity score. And students often don't look at how that score has been achieved. And often I get students say, oh, how much percentage of plagiarism is appropriate, or am I allowed to get away with? Sometimes that's what they say in appointments. And the number itself shouldn't be taken too literally. I mean, if it comes up as 100%, you might think there's some issues there. I'd say probably if it was 60%, that would probably, although we'll talk about some examples of why that might be the case in a minute. But if you've done the assignment well, then there is always going to be an element of similarity in that score that's reflected in that score. So just on its own, that number doesn't mean... It's not worth kind of comparing yourself, for example, to other students about what kind of percentage score you got. You have to look at where the similarity is occurring in the feedback report or the similarity report that you get. Because there, as Carly mentioned, there are cases where there is going to be similarity. And that is it. I mean, one particular thing is the reference list. If you have done the reference list correctly, and using Harvard style, it is probably going to be similar to something that is already in the database. So actually the highlighting of the reference list and the fact that that is constituting the score, that is a good thing. Direct quotations. they, if you're taking a direct quotation from a web source, turn it in is going to say that that is matched. If you're using quotation marks in the right place and you're referencing it, there is no issue there with plagiarism, although we've got to be slightly careful about overusing direct quotes. And I think, Mary, you had an example maybe of where, because I think you're the person maybe that's had the most recent experience of being a student. And I think what happened to you? I was talking to you this morning about when you got a very high score. Yeah,
I think it was a while ago now. I think it was in my undergrad, but it was one of my first experiences with Turnitin. And I am from a subject area that heavily uses quotes, direct quotes and analysis as well. So that's maybe something to keep in mind. But I just remember opening up my grade and seeing a big red mark and being terrified because it was a high number. I don't remember it. And it was before I'd opened the actual report. And I knew that I hadn't plagiarized because I knew the work that I'd done. But it convinced me that I was going to fail, that my markers were relying on that number to determine how well I'd done. And obviously, that wasn't the case. I think it turned out that everyone on the course was analysing the same piece of text. So that was in every single essay. And it was similarity between assignments that was being flagged up. But no, I didn't fail. I hadn't plagiarised, but the number was definitely terrifying. And I do just remember seeing red and panicking, to be honest with you.
Yeah, so you can really relate to that. When students mention that to you, Mary, you can take you back to that moment, I'm sure.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. So, John, if we kind of have the handle then on what Turnitin is and what it isn't, what's the best way for a student to work with that and to use that?
Well, it is a skill in itself, using the Turnitin feedback, and it's something that the lecturers have had to get used to over the last 20 years as well. What I would say then, if you get you are able probably at UWS to get a similarity report before you submit, and that might be new to a lot of students as well in my experience, because I don't think at school or college you get access to that feature. And some of our international students, I know when they come over to the UK, they're surprised about the fact that they can get access to the similarity report before they submit their assignments. So they're kind of given a kind of peek behind the curtain as to what's going on with their assignment and how the similarity rating is being achieved. What I would do, yes, have a look at the score by all means, but then look at the document where the coloured highlighting is occurring, because the highlighting is matching up the text that you've written with anything that the database is finding as being similar to that. Now, I would say, I mentioned the kind of exceptions before, things like in Mary's example, that the template that she was using, direct quotations, references, probably ignore anything that's coloured that is being highlighted for those reasons. But looking at the body of your essay, are there any parts of that are being highlighted? It can be the case that poor paraphrasing can lead to that, because it's looking for patterns, and it's looking for, and this can happen at not just sentence level, but kind of phrase level as well. So is it finding anything similar to other things? And that can be where students have poorly paraphrased, where they've done that, I think it's called patch writing, where they're taking chunks of a sentence and maybe just changing like one or two words within that sentence. And I would say that that's not good enough in terms of paraphrasing. It needs to be in your own words. So I've been looking through for any kind of examples of those extended colour highlights that are coming up in the similarity report.
John, I was just going to say, what about something like Manchester Phrase Bank, which we encourage students to use because it gives you sentence starters? But I have had students before say, is that a problem in Turnitin?
Well, I mean, we might have to take a bit of care with that. But the thing with the Manchester Phrase Bank is, in my experience, it's generic phrases that are being shown on there, and it's not any kind of content, although sometimes you may have to kind of tweak phrases to make it suitable for your particular content. But the way Turnitin works, as far as I understand, is it's not looking for generic phrases on there. So if there's something like, in light of these issues as a phrase, Turnitin is not going to pick that up, because that is a common phrase. It's looking for, and again, I don't know exactly how this algorithm works, but it's looking for patterns. And it's not going to pick up things that are kind of common written expressions. That's not what it's doing. It's looking for examples where there might be content that has been effectively copied from another source.
Yeah. It's a tricky area as well when we get into things like ChatGPT. I know we don't necessarily want to get into that in this episode, but will they be developing ways of picking that up as well, will they not?
That's what they say on their website at the moment, that they are developing some ChatGPT detection tools as well. So it'd be interesting to see if that's the case. Not that we're, I mean, the thing is as well, that Turnitin might not pick up certain things. Like I've experienced this as well, where I've almost got students to deliver. This was just an exercise that we've done in an embedded session one time, to show students how Turnitin works. And I actually got students to deliberately cheat, basically to copy sentences over from a source and to show how that might be highlighted by Turnitin. And we found actually that there were some cases where students were copying from books and that wasn't being highlighted in Turnitin. Now, that's not to say that you should be doing that. That is still plagiarism. That's the thing. And often your lecturers will be aware that that might be the case, because they may well be reading those books, or the language might, that you, in this case, plagiarize, might be not in keeping with the rest of the essay, and it's probably easily identified. So it is just a tool. And I think some students kind of, they focus too much on that kind of that similarity score. It's to be used with your own kind of common sense as well, and it does need to be used kind of carefully. So it's just,
yeah, I think it's like using any tool, you know. It's like using, I suppose, something like a tool for referencing, you know. In itself, that's not wrong, but it's how you use it. So if you then, you know, blame the tool for it not being correct, ultimately it's your responsibility. So you should know what's in your assignment, and you should know if it's, you know, where you've taken your information from. And it's just giving you a bit of guidance to sort of help you with that. Any sort of final tips on just how best to use Turnitin? I think, John, you had a tip around sort of feedback and downloading that report and how that might be useful.
Well, that was just to say, if you did, if you had some concerns about Turnitin, you could book an appointment with us and we could have a look at that together. We don't actually have access to, we do have access to Aula, but we don't have access to every single module across the university. Some students don't realise, actually, if they book an appointment with us and we want to look at the feedback, you can download the feedback that you get, or the similarity report that you get from Turnitin. It's basically clicking on your Turnitin account. If you click on a button that has a downward arrow, and then you click on the option download current view, you'll get a file on your computer that then you can upload when you're booking an appointment with ourselves.
That
can be really useful.
If we can see it, then we can go through and sort of point out, you know, this is what it's actually flagging up. And I think, you know, as Mary found earlier, sometimes it's the number too much that people focus on and not actually looking at the text.
Yeah.
So hopefully that's just a little quick run through Turnitin, hopefully just to explain it for people. We do get quite a few questions about it in academic skills sessions. Remember, as John said, you can book a one-to-one appointment with us to talk about any aspect of academic skills, and you can book through the student app or through our website. And as always, we'd love your comment, we'd love your feedback. And if you think there's a topic that you'd want us to discuss, then drop a line to skills@uws.ac.uk. Thanks everyone for taking part, and thanks for listening.